family, my name is Nanette and I'm an addict. Real, real grateful to be here. And first I need to thank the Chesapeake Potomac Regional Convention for inviting me here to speak at their convention. And it's a good day to be clean. Yeah, it is. My topic is embracing empathy. And what I want to do first is read the definition of embracing. It says a hug, enclosure, eager acceptance, to clash or hold with the arms, to take up eagerly or willingly, to avail oneself. And then empathy says identifying with an understanding of another's feelings, situations, and motives, attribution of one's own feeling to an object. In other words, putting yourself in someone else's shoes. And the reason why I read those is because, you know, my understanding of embracing and empathy wasn't what I thought it was. I didn't realize embracing had nothing to do with a hug or empathy. All I knew was identifying myself with someone else. That's what I knew it meant. But I need to qualify myself a little bit here. And I'm an addict named Nanette. I got through this process like about 16 years ago. And I remember coming in this process and didn't want nobody to embrace me. I didn't want nobody to touch me. I really couldn't identify what I heard because all I did was always disassociate myself with Narcotics Anonymous, because when I got here, for me, what addict meant was not who I thought I was. For me, addict meant someone on the street, no place to live, you know, wasn't able to wash and all those other things. But through this process, I came to find out that that's not what it is. It's more about identifying with the feelings, not the behaviors, just the feelings of another recovering addict. And I think that started for me at a real early age, because I remember being young and, you know, my mom used to always have these little meetings on Sunday where, you know, you got to sit down and talk about what was going on, and like everything you said was left at the table. But I would never say anything, because I felt like I was going to hurt her feelings, and I didn't want to do that. So through this process, you know, she has became a member of Narcotics Anonymous with over a couple of 20 years clean. And I need to say that there was no embracing in my house. She didn't get embraced. So she didn't know that she needed to embrace us. She did exactly what was done to her, to us. The bottom line is she did the best that she could with what she had. And I do understand that today. You know, I had this sponsor, and I had her for my first years, 8 years of my recovery. And she was the type of lady who could help you identify your truths. Meaning, like, there was no way out to slip around a corner. You know what I'm saying? Like, she had some experience, so she knew how to bring it out of you. And I remember, you know, her consistently embracing me. She's the one who taught me how to embrace other people. Because when I got here, again, like I said, especially the men, because there was always a motive as far as I was concerned. You wanted something if you hugged me. Based on some past experiences. I remember her having me at the door of a meeting and, like, practicing hugging people and how real uncomfortable that was. But I need to say that at that time, like, that's what I didn't want to feel the way I felt anymore. I didn't want to continue to be like I was, like, depressed and feeling less than, and all these other feelings that I was feeling. I didn't want to feel that stuff anymore. So when I got here, like, I took the suggestions. I'm not saying I took them all, but most of them I took because I just didn't want to feel that way anymore. It was real uncomfortable hugging people. It took me a couple years to start hugging the men because I stayed in the women's meeting for the first couple years, so I didn't have to hug y'all, you know. But through this process and doing some steps and, you know, I heard a lot this weekend about, you know, feeling and, you know, people encouraging you. And I need to say that, like, I stuck with those who told me I could do it. Like, through this process, I've learned how to be a friend. I learned how to love unconditionally. I learned how to identify with your pain. Because when I got here, I couldn't identify for a long time. I didn't hear my story. I actually added to my story because yours sounded better. That's what I did. Because I felt like I always did, that I needed to feel a part of. And feel a part of, for me at that time, was switching to whoever I was with. Yeah. So if you gossip, I gossiped. If you laughed and judged people, I laughed and judged people. Because when I got here, I didn't know any better. You know, again, through this process, I was able to identify with other people's feelings after a while. I was able to put myself in their shoes. You know, I was able to, it was hard. I need to say that because I was taught that, you know, don't let them see you sweat. You know, you better take care of yours. Because they not going to do it. And with all of that, it was real hard for me to, like, trust when I got in here. It was real hard for me to allow myself to tell myself the truth or even feel that I could tell myself the truth. Because I didn't know how to tell the truth when I got here. I thought I was telling the truth, but it was the truth to my best of my ability, but I didn't know how to tell the truth. You know, so, again, through this process, I learned that I could get some self-esteem, you know, I could get some self-worth, you know, I can embrace this program so that I'll be able to feel differently. And I'm not saying I did it overnight, and I'm not saying I did it perfectly. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is today, I'm able to put myself in your shoes. I'm able to feel what you're feeling. I'm able to embrace you no matter who you are. Like, because I don't play that little kitty game because you mad, I'm mad. No. If the bottom line is, I need to say that even if you've done something to me, I'm going to love you anyway. Because you, it is what it is. And I'm not in control of you and what you do. I'm just in control of my response and how I do to you. And in doing that, I no longer judge individuals to the best of my ability. Like, I'm able to embrace the person that acted out in the meeting and not just talking about them to somebody else. I'm able to tell you what I need to say and not talk about you when you go out the door. You know, that's what I was taught here in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I was reading the 12 step and it talks a lot about what we do in Narcotics Anonymous and how we go through the steps, and the steps guide us into certain spiritual principles that we apply to our lives in order to be better persons. I remember just talking about this the other day, how you get to the 12th step and, like, it's a feeling that I can't describe. You know, I can't tell you what it feels like, but I can tell you when you get there, you'll understand what I'm saying. And we was talking about how using these spiritual principles in our lives helps us to not be chaotic, helps us not to, like, expect you to be where we think you're supposed to be. Because I know for me, like, you, if you don't get it done, you can't get it done fast enough, I'm just going to do it because I just can't wait, you know. But today, I need to say that I really, truly have grown in that part because I no longer let your stuff bother me. I remember using, taking on everybody's stuff. Everybody's. I thought I was in control of stuff. I thought I, you know, needed to do all these things for everybody else. But I'm learning this process still to, like, take care of myself. Not allow, because you upset, for me to be upset. And that took some work. And it took a whole bunch of work. This 12-step, I want to read something here. And it's 12-step. And it talks about how our spirits begin to change in this process. And it says that this was the point where many of us began a sense of enormous difference that our higher power can make in our lives. We had asked for and been granted some freedom from having to act out on our shortcomings. We became willing to make amends to them all, which is mentioned in the 8th step, so that we could get away from that self-obsession, that grip that we were in. But what I have learned was that that wasn't what I wanted to read. 11th step. We started to better understand the loving nature of our higher power. The spiritual void we felt at the beginning of our recovery has been filled with gratitude, unconditional love, and a desire to be of service to God and others. And that's another thing that I learned through this process. It's no longer about me. Like, the reason why I'm here today has nothing to do with me. It's always of service. You know, if it's not a commitment, it's helping somebody else. I need to talk a little bit about the embracing part and my mom, because that keeps coming up in my brain, and I'm trying not to talk about it. But I think I need to talk about it. You know, I remember always wanting her to hug me and just say I love you, because I heard other people's parents say that to them. But she wasn't capable of doing that at the time. So a lot of times, I just held stuff in. I didn't really speak about it. I didn't want to let them know that I was really hurting. I didn't want them to know that, like, I didn't really like what she was doing. Because I actually felt sorry for her. Because she didn't really have a life. You know, it was work, home, kids, work, home, kids. And she did that for a whole bunch of years. Consistently. Same routine every day. So I didn't really think there was anything outside of the house. You know what I'm saying? I didn't think there was no other way. All I knew was the way what she did. And in turn, when I had children, I did the same thing until I came in this process. And like y'all taught me how to love my children. I thought I loved them, but I wasn't there emotionally for them, so how could I love them? You know, I wasn't a good model or example, because what I didn't feel like doing, because that's what was done to me, I didn't do. If I don't want to make up my bed, I don't have to. But, like, they was looking at me, and they wasn't making up theirs either. So then my sponsor started telling me, like, you need to make up yours. Maybe they'll make up theirs. I said, no, I'm grown. They're the children. They need to listen to me. But after a while, I did take the suggestion. They started making their beds. All my mother did was yell. I didn't know how to talk. That's what she did, and we moved fast. So in order for them to move fast, I did the same thing. So what I'm talking about, like, I have 2 sets of kids. I have 5 altogether, 27, 24, 25, 18, and 16. And the first 3 was really unmanageable because I didn't have a clue, but you couldn't tell me that. The last 2 are, I can say, NA babies, because they grew with me in this process. As I was learning, they was learning. I was able to embrace them instead of beat them. I was able to sympathize with what they was feeling, but not necessarily give in to what they wanted all the time. I found a new way for them to talk to me, communicate. Like, it's okay for you to tell me how you feel, but it doesn't mean that nothing's going to change. Like, I started explaining stuff instead of do as I say. And actually, like, these last two is, you know, they're doing wonderful. They're all doing wonderful. I got some graduates from college and all kinds of stuff, some grandbabies. So everybody's doing what they need to do, but what I'm trying to say is, like, it took this program and showing me how to put myself, because, see, back in my day, you were seen and not heard. You go, the kids go in the kids' room, adults go in the adults' room. You don't be up here in front of those adults. You need to go back in the other room. There was no sitting in the living room because it was white furniture and white rugs with kids. Like today, like it's wear and tear. They can go in the living room. Why buy the furniture for them to sit on? So what I'm talking about is changing my values from what I was taught, but also allowing them to feel what they need to feel. They can communicate what they feel without being disrespectful to me, but also doesn't mean that it's going to change. I was able to explain that to them. So I can count now how many times I beat these last ones on a couple of fingers. Because I no longer needed to be aggressive. I no longer needed to, like, demand that you do what I say when I say do it. That's what y'all taught me in here. Like, it's really not always about me. Like, we say, you know how we say in these meetings, like, we're a unit. Like, at home, I'm a unit. We're a unit. They do have a little say-so in what I do today in the home. No, I don't say they pay no bills and all that stuff. I'm saying that they can give their input. I'm able to listen to them today and be, when I'm wrong, apologize for being wrong. Like, my son was smoking weed a couple of months ago, the 16-year-old. And what I understand today is, like, there's peer pressure. They have a whole bunch of stuff that they're going through at 16 years old. You got the hormones, you got the little girls, you got a whole bunch of stuff going on. Like, you trying to figure out where you're going to be, who you want to be, who's going to like you, who don't like you. And actually, y'all taught me that I didn't need to beat the mess out of him. I didn't need to do that. No, I didn't. I made him get on that computer, and we Googled what it's going to do to you. And I made him sit there for 2 hours and read it to me. So I'm talking about, instead of trying to beat them and let them know that you can't come in my house like this, and if you come in here again, you can't stay here no more. No, I don't need to do that. You just said it earlier, it's a repetitious program. It's repetitious in the household, too. Because we still need to have you talk to us over and over, every we go in the meeting, over and over again. We still need that. So why can't we do it with them? Why can't we do it with them? Because sometimes I go back to that part where I'm the parent because I pay the bills. But what this process has taught me, it kicks in. It kicks in like, okay, slow down. Remember, you know what I'm saying? It kicks in. And when it kicks in, I realize that I need to just listen. So I need to say that, it was a lot of peer pressure. He's good today. He was able to, like, I asked him because we communicate. And I let him know, I said, how you doing today? Did you go around to the back of the school today? Was you able to go in the front door? And he's like, yeah, Mom, I'm doing good. I'm all right. How was your day? Like, I have this communication with them like what I do with y'all. Because if I don't, then I'm perpetrating here and then going home and acting a certain way. I'm not different at home. I'm the same way home that I am in here. I don't have to raise my voice anymore. When I raise it, they be like, oh, what's wrong with you? Do we need to go in the room and have a meeting? Because this program has taught me that I don't need to do those things anymore. Long story short about that, a couple of weeks ago, he was able to talk to this other little boy that started smoking, and I was so proud of him. And he talked to him. And as of today, so far, he's doing good. So what I'm talking about is, like, being able to carry even through these children. And I told him I'm so proud of him. No, that's not to say he might not do it again. I didn't say that. But see, I need to keep it in the day just like y'all tell me. I'm going to praise him for what he do today. If it come up again, we'll work on it when it comes up. It's not up to me to go all the way in the future and predict what he's going to do. So I continue to hug him. I continue to love him. You know, I'm talking about working on this in the household as well as. Today my mother doesn't leave without, we don't leave nowhere with the family without hugs today. Like, it's hugs. I love you on the phone. Like, I didn't have all of that stuff coming up. I've always felt isolated by myself. And when I first came to Narcotics Anonymous, I said, I'm at a convention with 1,000 people, and I always felt like I was by myself. I heard somebody say that yesterday about, like, being here and feeling like you're by yourself. I remember feeling that a lot of times. Only to do some of this work and find out that I ain't alone. I'm never alone. And I didn't want to hear that when I first got here either. What are you talking about, you never alone? Yes, I am. When I go to my house by myself, I'm alone. But then I got what it meant. It had something to do with my higher power. I didn't realize that. So what I'm talking about also is the lingo that we use in Narcotics Anonymous. Like, sometimes it's interpreted one way and it's not used correctly. Because I always thought that, you know, they said, God said, he'll do for you what you can't do for yourself, right? He'll help you through this process, right? I kept sitting and waiting for him to give me this business, and I just kept praying to only realize, like a year or so later, it's like, what am I doing to help myself get the business? But I heard y'all kept saying, just keep asking God, he'll give it to you. Just keep asking God, he'll give it to you. Y'all didn't say you needed to put in some work in order to get it. Y'all just said keep asking him. So what I'm talking about is, like, what I try to teach or what I try to show others is that, like, when you hear something in the meeting you don't understand what it means, at the end of the meeting, go ask him. Because we all interpret things differently. We might use the words, but it may not mean what we think it means. Because I waited for a couple of years for that business that I do have today, because then I realized I needed to put in some footwork. How you going to get something if you don't go and put out flyers and cards? And I didn't realize I was supposed to do that. So once I realized that, you know, I began my journey once again on the business aspect. But this program has really brought me a long way. Because I really came in here with you saw my little girl, real shy little girl. I used to sit all the way back in the corner and hope you didn't call on me and see me. To a person that can look you in your eyes today, because I couldn't do that. To can have a conversation, can hug you no matter who you are, and love you unconditionally, no matter what you do. The work. It's how that happens. I'm real stickler on the work. Like, I'd be like, okay, I'm starting to give limits now to dates. Yeah. Because I believe it has changed me. It has changed me. Yeah, I'm talking about y'all. Because if we want to get better, you need to do what is asked you to do. Why would you be in a program and not want to get better? Yeah. I want to read something else in here, in this 12th step. It says, our self-esteem grew along with our increased capability to forgive both ourselves and others. We were able to give of ourselves, and we gained the freedom. And when I got here, which I said a little earlier, because of no self-esteem or no self-worth or no being able to take care of myself, I wasn't able to look at myself with a positive aspect. I mean, like, I wasn't able to see that I could do anything. I wasn't able to look at my motives for doing things. I do realize now that there was always a motive with what I'd done. But I used to say no. But as long as I gained out of it, it was a motive. You know, as long as I looked good at the other end, that was my motive. Today, I try to the best of my ability, like, again, I can't say this no more, like, to love unconditionally. Like, I know why I'm here. I know what God's will is for me. I don't have that twisted. Right is right, wrong is wrong. You know, no justifying in the middle. So the little lie is a lie. It's a lie. Stole a piece of candy, you stole something. So I no longer tell myself those things that I used to tell myself. Well, I just did it one time, so it doesn't call it that. I keep coming. I have a sponsor that has a sponsor that has a sponsor. I have some babies, which they are definitely my babies, because, like, when I take other people's lives in my hands, like, I need to be responsible and tell them what needs to be said, not what they think I should say. Because that's what was done to me. I'm giving them what was done for me. Because I believe if I'd have got here and y'all cussed at me and told me to shut up and sit down and all that other stuff, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't, because I was talked to like that all my life. Then I wasn't going to come in here and y'all say that to me. So I'm real grateful for that first sponsor. Because, like, she really loved me. At one point, I started feeling guilty like she was my mother. Then I had to grieve that process. Because I got the embracing. I got the healing that I needed. I got the hugs. I mean, plenty of times, like, we was able to go over her house and lay on her bed and, like, just cry and stuff like that. The stuff that I wanted to do with my mother that I do today. But I couldn't do it back then. So through this process, I have done a whole bunch of things. I've learned a whole bunch of things. I know how to love today, unconditionally, no matter what or who you are. And that was, I keep saying that because that was really hard for me. If you didn't do what I said, you could leave. That's how it was. So I had a lot of amends to make. I had a lot of amends to make. But I'm really grateful to be here. And I think that's it for me. Thanks for letting me share. Yeah.